The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 10th, through Sunday, April 16th, 2023. The commentary for the month of April was written by Kim Becker, a priest and poet of Euro and Cherokee descent, who serves in North Dakota. She is a former hospice and ICU trauma chaplain and is trained as a racial healer. The commentary for Monday, April 10th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 10a. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." Here's the commentary for this day. The chief priests want to keep Jesus' resurrection a secret, so they concoct a plan with the soldiers that blames the disciples for taking Jesus' body during the night. They pay them off to stick to this story, covering them should news reach the governor. Who could blame them? No politician wants a scandal. People in power want to keep it that way, and money talks. But Jesus cares nothing about money or power. He says to his brothers, "Go to Galilee, where they will see him." Whenever I am filled with fear, I remind myself that Jesus has already gone before me to Galilee. This reminder calms me when I experience fear or anxiety, and I think of Jesus going before me, before us, every time I enter a patient's room at the hospital or the trauma bay in the emergency room. We need not be afraid. Jesus has gone before us. And now I'll read from the full scripture today of Matthew 28, verses 9 through 15. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. And the moving forward question for this Monday, the Monday in Easter week, is as follows. Imagine yourself as a disciple in the days after Jesus' death and resurrection. How would you have responded? Now the commentary for Tuesday in Easter week, Tuesday, April 11th. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41a. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. One Sunday, I came to church prepared to baptize one child. However, as I walked around the side of the church, I saw another child, the sister of the child I intended to baptize, dressed in frilly white. I quietly asked my deacon to inquire whether the mother intended both children to be baptized. My deacon returned to say that the mother, whose first language was not English, indicated that she wanted both children baptized. The service was about to start, and I had to make a quick calculation. Thinking of this scripture passage, I decided, yes, I could adjust my sermon to mention the second child. I had already prepared the mother for the one child's baptism. To turn away her other child would be, in my view, a denial of the work of the Holy Spirit. No one else in the congregation had any idea other than that a mistake had been made in the bulletin, listing only the one child. But I knew the mother believed and was making promises on behalf of her children. Who was I to stand in the way? And now I'll read the full passage from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. And the moving forward question for Tuesday in Easter week, are you open to unexpected invitations by the Holy Spirit? Pray for a willing and a receptive heart. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday in Easter week, Wednesday, April 12th. It begins with a passage from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, 105, verse 3b. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. What do you seek? I don't often consider this question. I'm more apt to think along the lines of, I want. My goal is, my next project will be, but to seek. This is not often a concept I engage in my regular busy life, despite the fact that as a priest I am supposed to seek the Lord, right? If I'm honest, on a day like today, with meetings morning till night, I am mostly seeking some rest, some downtime, and yet I offer my prayers to the new day by facing east in the morning. I say my prayers in Cherokee. I do some writing in the quiet of the morning before my workday begins. It is then that I seek the Lord. What I am less good at is seeking the Lord once the day's to-do list begins. This morning, I had a meeting that started with someone expressing his anger toward me. Did I seek the Lord? No, I sought to defend myself and get one up on his arguments against me. So tonight, when I lie down in bed, I will seek forgiveness for seeking my own will and not God's will, our catechism's definition of sin. Only then can my heart rest and rejoice. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Psalm 105. I'll read verses 1 through 8. O give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. And the moving forward question for this week is a simple one. What do you seek? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, April 13th, the Thursday in Easter week. We begin with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 41. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Jesus said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" My son's first unplanned communion was at the beach on a parish retreat. I was surprised and embarrassed, but Father Tom was nonplussed and laughed. Now that I'm a priest, I love it when little ones reach out their hands for bread. I think of that time at the beach whenever I read this passage, only this time it is Jesus asking to be fed. Compline has the petition, "Shield the joyous." Maybe you know how it feels to be in a state of vulnerable disbelief in the face of joy. The disciples were afraid they were seeing a ghost, but this ghost wanted something to eat. When we come to the altar with outstretched hands, wanting to be fed, our Lord feeds us from His very self. Because of His gift, we can be joyful, even when we are not feeling particularly happy, since happiness is often predicated on an outward circumstance, whereas abiding joy comes from having the peace that passes all understanding. And now I'm going to read a passage from the Gospel of Luke, verse 36 through 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And the moving forward statement for this day, Thursday in Easter week: during the 50 days of Easter, commit to attending and partaking in the Eucharist at least once per week. And now the commentary for Friday in Easter week, Friday, April 14th, from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 12a. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Although I am now a vegetarian and don't buy meat or fish, I have eaten both in the far past and caught my first trout with my uncle when I was a little girl. I think of that moment, hoisting a glittering rainbow-scaled fish from the mountain stream, whenever I encounter this passage. I think of Jesus serving fish for breakfast on the beach, and remember the time a friend of mine caught a trout from the river in Cherokee and induced me to take a bite. We were studying the language and felt fed by learning about Cherokee history and culture, including learning how to pray in Cherokee. That time still nourishes me today as priest and poet. Yeshua, Jesus, was also a tribal member, raised Jewish, where community was everything. This is why offering his own body and blood as food and drink was so shocking and offensive to religious authorities. But here he is not thinking about any of that. He is simply inviting his friends to breakfast, just as he invites us to the altar for his supper. Are you hungry? I am. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage of John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the sea at Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in, because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And now here's the moving forward question for this Friday in Easter week. Think about moments in your life that have fed you spiritually. Do you set aside an intentional time for feasting in the Word of God? And now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday in Easter week, Saturday, April 15th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation." During my first clinical pastoral education unit, I had a male patient who wanted nothing to do with a female chaplain. I had to write up the visit and submit it to my supervisor. I told him that I used to volunteer at a men's maximum security prison, and they didn't have time for BS either. Regrettably, I did not abbreviate the BS. In retrospect, I was mortified by my phrasing, but that is what I was given to say in the moment. Thankfully, my supervisor commended me for taking a risk, and that patient and I ended up becoming friends until his death shortly thereafter. It is risky and countercultural to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. We may not always be eloquent, but meeting people where they are is in itself good news for those who feel lonely, angry, or estranged. And now I'll read the full gospel passage today from the Gospel of Mark. This is chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. And the moving forward statement for this day, the Saturday in Easter week, is a question: did you know that Forward Movement, this publication that I'm reading from, sends free copies of Forward Day by Day and other resources to people in prison, nursing homes, and hospitals? If you'd like to support this ministry of proclaiming the good news, visit forwardmovement.org/donate. And parenthetically, you can also just visit forwardmovement.org to see these particular readings that I'm doing on this Reflections program, and also find other inspirational sources as well. Today's commentary is for the second Sunday of Easter, Sunday, April 16th, and it begins with a passage from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. "In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials." So many times in the hospital, I would hear people say that this death accident trauma was God's will. The book Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved by Kate Bowler was very helpful to me as a resident chaplain. I did my best to join people in their hopes. If they asked to pray for a miracle, I did so. But I always gently tried to temper expectations. When grieving loved ones asked me why, I responded honestly with, "I don't know, but I do know God grieves with you and loves you." I did not cry until I was in the car or call room. No one gets through life without suffering. When I got COVID-19 and lost my job, I was in the wilderness. I questioned and even cursed God at times out of my feverish state as I struggled to breathe. Then I remembered a prayer for the sanctification of illness. God does not send suffering, but can sanctify it. Thanks be to God. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that through though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And the moving forward question for this day is to read the Liturgy for Ministration to the Sick, which is found in the Book of Common Prayer, starting on page 453, or you can look for the Ministration to the Sick in the prayer book of your particular denomination. And then ask yourself this question: how can these prayers offer comfort and strength to you and to others during difficult days? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's longings and each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.